Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we got Larry Carver with Carver & Associates. Hey, Larry.
Hi there.
So tell us a little bit about Carver & Associates. How do you serve folks?
Our company outfits hotels. We buy furniture, fixtures, and equipment, operating supplies and equipment, and we have 23 designers on staff. And basically, if someone wants to build a hotel, we work with the owner and or work for the owner and with the designers and the architects. And it's a team effort to hopefully create the design that the owner wants and get the brand to approve it and coordinate all the activities involved in getting it open.
Now, when you talked about the hotel, are you talking about the entrepreneur who runs that specific hotel, or is it the large brand that is the franchisor of the hotel?
Our client is the owner. And our best client is the management company or the developer that might have 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 hotels.
Of the same brand?
Different brands.
So it would be different.
Yeah. We work with virtually all the brands. Since IHG came to Atlanta in the mid-90s, they've been a very good source of business for us. And Hilton also is probably number two. But we're a fiduciary also. We work for the owner, and our job is to get him the best value. And he chooses the brand.
So then walk us through what that process is like. So a person, this is their business. They own hotels all over the world typically. And then they say, okay, we want to open one up in Vegas. And then they call you up. And
Well, most of them are regional players. We do have a couple of good clients. Noble Investment here in Atlanta is one that they have hotels all over the place. We have four offices in the United States, but we also have offices in the Middle East and in Korea and Canada and Mexico. So we try to work on projects that are within our offices' geographical area, typically.
And then, so how do you begin the process? Do you ask how much money you got, how many rooms you want to?
We're in a very specialized business, and hotel owners are unique animals, and a lot of entrepreneurs also, but most of them are very professional, and they've run the numbers. They know if a hotel is going to work or not, and they work closely with the brand to decide. For example, if you're working with Hilton, you've got a choice of Hilton Garden Inn or Homewood Suites or various other brands, and the brand really dictates what you can put where. And once they decide on the quality level and the style that they want, then that's when we come on board and work with them to develop the budgets and also in a lot of cases we'll do the interior design as well.
And then so what is the kind of your view of the hospitality industry today? Are you bullish?
It is great. It really is. The business is fantastic right now. And we are so tied to the economy. And it's a roller coaster industry. It really is. We've been through a lot of recessions over the years. When the savings and loan crash happened, that really nailed us. 9/11 killed us. And then this last financial meltdown in 2008 just destroyed our business. And it was ridiculously terrible for 3 years.
So but when you say destroyed, that means nobody's building anything.
People quit building. Yeah. We depend a lot on discretionary income for the travelers.
The typical traveler isn't a business person. It's for entertainment.
Both. All things. When I first started, I was with the Portman organization, and we did nothing but really huge, big convention hotels. But when I became went out on my own, it didn't take long to realize that we need to broaden our base. So we do resorts, we do casinos, we do business projects, all kinds of hotels. And so the traveling public is varied, and the reason for them renting a room is varied.
Now, what about the kind of the Airbnb-ing of the world? How does that impact the business?
a lot. It's kind of the enemy of the hotel industry, really. It's taken a chunk out of our industry. But even with that, business right now is amazingly strong. Evidently, hotels are good investments, which they haven't always been. And a lot of hotels are being bought and sold right now. And a lot of funds are being put together strictly for hospitality transactions. And every time a hotel is bought or sold, that's a job for us. So we're very bullish on the market. And I think the smart people say we've got maybe another couple of years before it planes.
And then, so like, what is it like when you're deciding, or when the owner is deciding where or why to put a hotel in a given market? So what are they looking at? What are leading indicators for them to decide if this is a good idea or not?
Well, that really dictates what kind of property they wind up doing, whether it's a business hotel in a business office park community like this, or close to a resort, close to an airport. Each one of those markets dictates a different kind of property. And so they look at the market, they look at the brand. The brand really guides a lot of owners and says, okay, for this area, you should have a Hilton Garden Inn, for example, or a Courtyard by Marriott, because it's a very heavily concentrated business area. Resorts, of course, that's a different criteria. So it really depends on the kind of property that is going to fit best in that piece of land.
But like I read recently, I don't know if you're involved in this or not, but I read recently, like downtown in Centennial Park area, they're looking at a Margaritaville kind of resort.
Yeah, they are.
So now, how that wouldn't occur to me that that's a Margaritaville environment.
And sometimes I wonder about the rationale that goes into these things, but there are a lot of smart people that figure this stuff out. And since our job is to furnish them,
you're like, go for it.
We don't have to operate them, right? Yeah.
So sometimes it's not obvious. So sometimes they're doing their own math, looking at different things. I'm just trying to understand what is the trigger that's like, you know what? It's time for a Margaritaville here. Like something happened. You know, I guess all of the museums, or they're attracting more families.
Well, yeah,
or something.
Exactly. The folks that look at the market and that put the pro formas together really know this industry. Our industry has become a lot more professional over the last 20 or 30 years, and these guys can pretty much put the numbers together, and they know what's going to happen when they build it.
And then, but are you seeing, like in this area in Sandy Springs, we need more extended stay because there's a lot more businesses open and where they're going to bring people in. And so they're going to need places to stay.
Extended stay is one part of the business that is underserved right now. Just not only here, but virtually everywhere. It's a relatively new concept, and I'd say 20 years. And a lot of the brands have only recently gotten into it. So the demand is a lot stronger than the supply right now.
Now, how do you kind of manage the government regulations? Is that a challenge, or is that something that is not really that important?
Not really. I mean, they constantly change. The American Disabilities Act, for example, made a lot of changes necessary in our industry. The brands are very cognizant of safety requirements, and we have to get every hotel we do approved by the brand, make sure that we're adhering to their standards and construction criteria and that sort of thing. Overall, it's government regulations don't really affect us that much. The owner, yes, but mm-hmm. for us, they really don't.
Now, what about transportation? How does that come into play with are you near mass transit, or is there a shuttle that goes around to different, things around the area? Do you have to manage that?
Once again, we don't. The operator does. The owner does. But that is definitely a factor in when they plan their hotel. If it's close to an airport, shuttle is critical.
Right. But even here in Sandy Springs, there's a shuttle that goes around to different office parks, hotels, that they just kind of make their own kind of shuttle. transit system?
Yeah, I think that's kind of a local decision. Mm-hmm. The hotel owners get together and decide what the region or the area needs, and then attempt to fix it, solve it.
Now, what's the most rewarding part of you or of your job?
When it's done. This business is a fun business to be in. It's very casual. Everybody is really friendly, but it's tense because it's deadline driven. Everything has to be there at a given time, and you plan a year in advance to have product manufactured when it needs to come off the assembly line. So it can get very tense, especially toward the end when you've got all the other trades in there and you're trying to get the hotel open. But when it's all done and you take a look at it and wow, we had something to do with this. It's really kind of, it's really kind of cool.
Now, what's the challenge of working with the manufacturers?
In our industry, the manufacturers are very specialized. We work with case goods companies, upholstered seating, lighting, all of these companies are for the most part pretty small, and they're specialized in the hospitality industry. It's a lot different than retail, where retail will build 5,000 of this chair, 5,000 of this table. Our manufacturing runs are maybe 100, 200 pieces, 500 pieces. And so you're dealing on a customized product that's being built to service one specific building. And
they have to be built kind of last because there's going to get a lot of use?
Oh, definitely. A contract chair, for example, is a lot more robust than one you'd find in IKEA.
Right.
They have to be because there's a lot of liability. If a chair breaks, then somebody's going to get sued. So you really have to make sure that it's properly constructed and is going to hold up in a commercial environment.
Right. So there's small runs, but they have to be built very well.
Absolutely. Yes, they do.
So the quality has to be very high. Now, are you able to leverage any of the 10,000 manufacturers here in Georgia or your manufacturers elsewhere?
We are in a global industry, and we buy product from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And used to be 20 years ago, when we first got into business in Korea, for example, that was 1993, we did projects in Seoul, but everything was manufactured in the United States and we exported to Korea. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen anymore. Virtually, 80% of what we buy now comes from either Asia, South America, some places like that. But the differential between a Chinese product and an American product is getting smaller and manufacturing is starting to come back to the United States.
Now, for you in the growth of your company, what were you looking? Just keep globally growing or more here in the United States? Or
yes, that's another reason that we're all over the place because right now the Middle East is very hot. Mexico is not. So we want to broaden our base and be able to serve the markets that need us. And so when we look at a new area, we try to partner or find a partner that is really strong. We just started in Dubai and Saudi Arabia about a year and a half ago. And that region is still growing. So we're doing a lot of work there.
And then how do you penetrate a new region? Is it you work with somebody who just moves into that area and then you kind of come along for the ride?
If we're going into a new country, we partner with someone who's already strong there. The partner that we have in Dubai, for example, is he has offices in Riyadh and Dubai and India, and he's very strong in logistics and shipping. And so that's a big part of what we do. And so if we can find a good partner that is strong where we're not, then that's who we like to team up with.
So supply chain is an important component of your business. You have to be good at that in order to execute.
That is critical to our business. We have two business models. We work on bigger hotels. We work strictly on a fee base. We're fiduciary also. And so our job is to show the owner all the options available in the marketplace. So we'll take the specifications and bid it really to the world. And we'll get 8 or 10 or 12 bids for a given product and present it to the owner and make a recommendation. but it's the owner's final decision. They say, well, I like this guy. So we contract on behalf of the owner with the manufacturer, and then we do all the coordination and make sure that the finishes are correct, and we monitor the manufacturing, schedule the deliveries, and arrange for installation.
And then your kind of secret sauce is that you've been doing this so long and you have contacts and resources all over the planet.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's really what our key to success, I think, is we've been doing it a long time. We've got a really strong staff and we buy a lot of product. And once again, we're in a specialized industry. There aren't that many companies that do what we do.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you worked with the Portman company early in your career. What do you think of Atlanta's growth? You must have seen it kind of explode over the years.
It's phenomenal. And the Portman organization was a great place to learn business because everything was in-house. Architecture, engineering, interior design, and a good bit of operations. And so it was a great classroom to be in. And plus, he built beautiful, big hotels. So, and he virtually changed downtown Atlanta. So it's been a remarkable journey, really, over the last 40 years.
But could you imagine the kind of the expansion of Atlanta from where it was to where it is now? And it seems like it's never going to end.
No,
it's farther out.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? Yeah, no, I never would have believed it. I moved here in 72, I think, and 85 was two lanes in each direction. It's changed a lot.
Right, and there's no end in sight.
I think you're right. Atlanta has a great future.
There's no boundary or, you know, natural boundary.
It does sprawl a little bit, yeah. And if we could just do something about the traffic, that would
You'll
be great.
Fix that.
Oh, yeah, we'll take care of that.
Next act in your career, right?
No, I think I'm going to stay where I'm at.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. If somebody wanted to learn more about your firm or get involved and talk to you, what's the best way to learn more?
Go online, carverassoc.com, carverassoc.com.
All right, Larry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.